for those of you who don't know, my youngest child was born when I was 39. So we have quite a wide generational divide between us, which, just to use one example, means that the Clash and the Police and the Psychedelic Furs and all these bands that I listened to in high school are to my daughter as the Andrews Sisters and the Mills Brothers and Bing Crosby were to me. I was a child pre-digital, pre-VCRs, pre-cell phones, pre-microwaves, really. I mean, my daughter lives in an entirely different world than I lived in. And although the time frame is different, and maybe some of that rapid technological change has been more rapid in the last couple of decades, that's kind of the premise behind this movie, 20th Century Women. Mike Mills made the movie Beginnings a few years ago. Probably some of you saw Beginnings, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, which was based on his father's experience. His father came out as a gay man in his 70s after Mike Mills' mother died. And 20th Century Women is Mike Mills' sort of tribute to his mom. The character is based on his mother, even though she plays a single parent in the movie. And Mike Mills' mom was born in 1924. He was born in 1966, so they have that same wide generational divide. And the movie takes place in 1979. Jamie, the son, is 15, which is about how, right about where I was at in 1979. And they're in Santa Barbara, California, where the cultural changes were happening maybe a little more rapidly than they were for me in central Missouri. But the mother, Dorothea, is just increasingly aware that her son is growing up, growing away from her. She doesn't resent that. She just recognizes that that's kind of the natural trajectory, that he's moving into manhood, and she feels kind of inadequate to raise a man on her own. She's a very open-minded, kind of progressive, wants to be open-minded at least, mother. Not a hippie, but progressive politically and kind of preachy, and I recognize a lot of that in myself. There's a very funny bit in the movie when she's giving her son some advice on how to help someone who's going through a difficult time, and she says, you know, sometimes you men always think you need to fix things. Sometimes we don't need things fixed. And he says, I'm not all men, I'm just Jamie. And she's like, yes and no. So she does something because she feels kind of not up to the task of raising him into manhood alone. She has two tenants that live in their big rambling house with her. A guy probably in his 30s named William. Kind of a day laborer, and then Abby, who is a young woman in her 20s, who's a photographer, really into the punk scene. Well, Jamie and William don't have anything in common, so she asks Abby, the young woman who's played wonderfully by Greta Gerwig, who I like anyway. I think, Paul, you're the one who said you're kind of sick of Greta Gerwig's usual sort of goofy, manic. And the other person that she asks for help is Jamie's best friend, Julie. Jamie is in love with Julie, who's played by Elle Fanning, or, you know, at least seriously infatuated with her. She does not reciprocate, but she sneaks into his house almost every night and sleeps in his bed. And just sleeps in his bed. And those characters, the character of Abby is based on Mike Mills' older sister, the character of Julie is based on two female friends that Mike Mills had in high school, used to sneak into his house and sleep in his bed, which he found very frustrating, but still not going to send him away when you're a teenage boy. Abby especially takes the task quite seriously and tries to educate Jamie in music and romance and sexuality, and which leads to some really, and feminism. Feminism and sexuality together, which leads to some really funny interactions between him and his mother and him and other people. Some of the reviews of 20th Century Women, I just saw one, I think it was The Atlantic yesterday, that called it a coming-of-age film. It's not a coming-of-age film. I wouldn't have described it that way anyway, but I heard Mike Mills in an interview say it's not, because it's not really about Jamie, and Jamie changes very little in the course of the film. It's about the women around him, and he's kind of the audience proxy through whom we get to experience these women. And although all three of them are wonderful, Annette Bening is just the beating heart of this film. She needs a nomination for this film. Her character is so, and you can see it in her face. She's so open and curious and receptive and trying so hard to understand her son's experiences and the people around her. And the script is so insightful. It was one of those that hits me right where I'm at, you know, as a parent. So insightful into what it's like to watch your children grow up. There's a scene, I think she's talking to Abby, where she says something about how you get to see my son, because Abby is like taking him to a club. I think this is what she says. You get to see him in a way that I will never get to see him. And I was hit by how true that is. I do not know what my young adult children are like when they're not around me, because we all kind of protect our parents from knowing what we're like when they're not around, right? And in a way, parents protect their, try to protect the children too. And if that kind of mystery is stripped away too much, it's threatening to the relationship. And one of the most poignant scenes in 20th Century Women is he's been reading all this feminist literature, and he reads a passage from Zoe Moss's It Hurts to Be Alive and Obsolete, The Aging Woman, about what it's like to be a middle-aged woman in this culture. And I was listening to the passage, watching the movie, thinking, that is absolutely right. That's just what it feels like. But the mother in the film is really hurt and angry, and she's like, you think you know me now? You think you read this book and know who I am? I don't need a book to tell me who I am. And I think it's because of the mystery that we keep between children and parents is being kind of stripped away. What else do I have here? I said I would only talk for like 5 minutes, and I'm pretty sure I've already talked longer. But one of my other favorite movies this year, which didn't make our top 10, was Kelly Reichardt's Certain Women. Did anybody see Certain Women? Right. Yes. It's lovely. See that one too. Both of these women, or these movies, are really about women. The women are not seen through the male gaze. They're not used to direct your focus toward other characters. They're not patronized. It's their stories. And I love it, especially aging women still don't get taken seriously enough in film. And the relationship between the son and the mother is never pathologized. Like, the women are not an obstacle to Jamie. They're characters who are enriching his life. I'm going to read a little quote from, I think Kathleen Wiley will recognize this one. This is from Dorothy Sayers, from a book of essays that she wrote called Are Women Human? way back in like the 1930s. She's actually talking about how Jesus talked to women. But this is the tone that Mike Mills manages to achieve in this film in regard to the female characters, which, coming from a male writer-director, I find doubly impressive. Never nagged at them, never flattered or coaxed or patronized, never made arch jokes about them, never treated them either as the women, God help us, or the ladies, God bless them, who rebuked without querulousness and praised without condescension, who took their questions and arguments seriously, who never mapped out their sphere for them, never urged them to be feminine or jeered at them for being female, who had no axe to grind and no uneasy male dignity to defend, who just took them as he found them. Praise to Mike Mills for managing to do that. And I hope Annette Bening gets a nomination for this movie. Yeah. She loves him.